Blog Talk Radio.
Might as well put your hands together.
Are you a liability or an asset to the Kingdom of God Internet Radio Show? I am executive director and host, Brother James Brown Jr., and we do come to you live from Detroit, Michigan, each and every Thursday and Saturday night from 8 until 9 p.m. as usual. And I thank God every time we come on, we are gaining more listeners worldwide, and I thank God for this. It's nobody but God that is doing this, and I thank him for it. So as I always say, and especially for the first-time listeners, please get your Bible, get your pen, get your paper ready so that you can follow along with the man of God. In the presence of none other than Deacon Marvin Cox, he's going to be bringing the word again on tonight, and what a powerful word he has for us in store for us on tonight. So you need your Bibles, you need your pens, and you need your paper so you can follow along with him as we go through God's word together on tonight. But as usual, he's going to read for us another inspirational poem for us first before we go into God's word. So we always open up with prayer. I'm asking all the listeners, if you will please go into prayer with me at this time, because we serve an awesome God. He can hear all of our cries. He can hear all of our pleas. He can hear all of our prayers. Even at the same time, what a mighty God we serve. So I'm asking all listeners, please go into prayer with me at this time. Eternal God, our Heavenly Father, once again, we come in that awesome, powerful name of your Son, Jesus Christ, our risen Lord and Savior, and soon coming King. We come in his name, Lord, giving you glory. We give you honor and praise for who you are. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that you are not like man. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that you cannot change, you cannot fail, you cannot lie. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that you are a promise keeper. You are still watching over your word to perform it in the lives of your children, even on today. So now, Lord, we ask in the name of Jesus, before we go any further, that you will forgive us of all of our sins and our transgressions, starting with myself, my entire family, also Deacon Marvin Cox and his entire family, and every faithful doer, every faithful, humble, committed doer of your word all over the land. Heavenly Father, forgive us of all of our sins and our transgressions in the name of Jesus, so that our work for you on earth will not be in vain, but that you alone will be glorified through it. It's our prayer in the name of Jesus. Heavenly Father, we now lift up all those that are sick and afflicted all over the land. We thank you that you are in every place at all times. Your eye is in every place at all times. So you know who's sick. You know who's sick in their minds and their spirits and bodies. And you are the chief physician that has never lost a patient. So we ask, Lord, that you will move by your spirit, touch, heal, and deliver by your power, Heavenly Father, and that your will be done in each life, that you will be glorified is our prayer in the name of Jesus. Heavenly Father, we also lift up all those that are dealing with bereavement on tonight. Let them remember and know, for those that do not know and are not aware, that earth still has no sorrow that heaven cannot heal. Heavenly Father, let them remember to look unto the hills from which cometh their help. For you are our comforter, and we thank you that you are not like man. When you comfort us like no one else can. So let them feel your presence, Lord, in their hour of bereavement, that they will know that you are the true and living God, and that they will know that you are real on today, that you will be glorified in the name of Jesus Christ. Heavenly Father, we now lift up everyone that may be listening for the first time on this internet radio show. We pray, Lord, not only for them, but everyone that may be listening, Heavenly Father, that do not know your Son, Jesus Christ, who are not saved in his name. We pray, Lord, that as your word goes forth, we pray, Lord, that you will move by your spirit and that it will go forth with power on tonight to the saving of many souls, that after they have heard your word on tonight, even on tonight, that they will be able to confess the Lord Jesus Christ, open their own mouth, confess him, and ask him to come into their hearts and into their lives and save them. And once they're saved, they will come to know, walk in, and live and fulfill that God purposes in the earth for your glory is our prayer in the name of Jesus Christ. Now, Lord, we pray that your word will go forth with power and that your word will be received in love on tonight is our prayer in Jesus' name. We continue to lift up every listener, continue to bless them, continue to strengthen their hearts and grant them the desires of their hearts. It's our prayer, Lord, that you will continue to touch their hearts, that they will spread the news by this worldwide ministry, that others can tune in and be blessed by it as well, that you alone will be glorified is our prayer. So, Lord, we pray most of all that your will be done in us on today. We thank you for your grace and your mercy. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your grace and your mercy that's renewed day by day. So we know that we are not worthy of them, but we thank you for them, even your sufficient grace. Thank you in the name of Jesus Christ. And finally, Lord, we thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ. Thank you for his great sacrifice for mankind, for me. Thank you, Lord, that he died for us, that he did not stay dead. He rose from the dead just like he said he would on the third day. He rose with all power in his hands. He rose with the victory over hell, death, and the grave in his hands. And he's now sitting at the right hand making intercession for the saints of God. So now, Lord, we ask that you will continue to move our spirit over this internet radio ministry, that you alone will be glorified and that your will be done is our prayer in Jesus' name. And all those that are touching and agreeing with this prayer said amen. Well, amen. Tonight's scripture food for thought comes to us saying, and this goes for me as well, and it's very simple. Think on these things. Once again, tonight's spiritual food for thought comes to us saying, think on these things, and that's found in Philippians chapter 4, verses 8 and 9. I'm asking all listeners, if you would please go to blogtalkradio.com/servants/ambassadors/vessels. And once you get there, please click on follow. I do welcome all comments and feedback from listeners. You can email me also at all lowercase james_brown1558@yahoo.com or on Facebook. In the form of announcements, every now and then I like to let people know, because like I just said earlier at the opening of this program on tonight, the Lord is doing great and marvelous things through this ministry, and we are gaining more and more listeners every time we come on the air. So I know that there's nobody but God who is doing this, and it's for his glory, and it is marvelous in our eyes. So I want the new listeners that are tuning in, and for some of you that maybe have been listening and you have not had the chance to write this information down, please get your Bible. Of course, you want to have your Bibles and your pens and paper ready to follow along with the man of God as he gets ready to deliver God's word. But as far as this announcement, The Lord has blessed me through this ministry to have other hosts of their own shows up under my direction. So I'd like to share them with you, the title of their shows, the name of the host, and their times and dates that they are on the air, so that you can tune in and be blessed by the word of God through them as well. First, we have Theologically Speaking with Jose Dorsey. He is the host. His show airs each and every first and third Thursday night from 6:30 to 7 p.m. Then we have Clinically Speaking with host Sierra Renee. She is a psychologist, a woman of God, powerful young woman of God, anointed woman of God, who delivered God's word with power. And she, even dealing with her clients and even over the airwaves, when she deals with issues pertaining to psychology, she always puts the word of God on every issue. And that's what I love about her and her show. Again, Clinically Speaking with host Sierra Renee, her show airs each fourth Thursday night and first Saturday night from 6:30 to 7 p.m. Then finally, we have Ministry I'm Possible. The host is Minister Sharon Rambis. He is the armor bearer of my pastor and bishop. Our bishop and pastor is none other than Bishop James A. Denning, the pastor of Greater Shelter Faith Baptist Church on the east side of Detroit. So Minister Sharon Rambis' show is once again titled Ministry I'm Possible. And his theme for his show is With God All Things Are Possible. His show airs each and every fourth Saturday night from 6:30 to 7 p.m. So those are the news, the shows. They're not new now, but I thank God for what he's doing through this ministry. Now he has opened the door for other people to be able to bring forth his word. That's what I love about God. He has no respect of person. Anyone that's willing to do God's will, and if you have been anointed and called to stand on God's word and deliver God's word, that's what we are called to do in these last and evil days. So I thank God for these three hosts that have their shows up under my direction. So you are asking you all to please tune in to them and be blessed by them as they deliver God's word as well. So we are now ready to receive the word of God on tonight through the persons of none other than Dick and Marvin Cox. I am not going to do a music break on tonight because he has a powerful word on tonight, and we want to try to make sure we get everything in on tonight. But just in case, we're not afraid to do part two and three and four if we need to, just to make sure that everyone gets the word. So right now, I am so excited to bring forth once again Deacon Marvin Cox. Again, he's going to share with us an inspirational poem first, and then he's going to go directly into the Word of God. Deacon Marvin Cox.
Hey, man. Once again, I thank you, Brother Brown. Thank the Lord for allowing me to once again come before his people. This is probably one of the most humbling experiences that an individual can have. I won't tarry before you long. The Lord has a wonderful message for his people tonight. And the poem that is coming forth tonight is coinciding with the message for tonight. And we've got to think about these things. And the message for tonight, and the poem for tonight is Fix Your Roof. Fix your roof on a sunny day. You may never know when the storm is coming your way. Fix your roof, please don't procrastinate. You don't have time to put it off or to wait. Prepare yourself for the storm to come, for we know not which direction it is coming from. Like in the time of Noah, or have you forgot? They had 120 years to prepare, and they prepared not. Fix your roof is my admonishment to you. Get your house in order, no matter what you do. Fix your roof for it's starting to leak. Strengthen yourself in areas that you're weak. Trouble may start at the top and work its way down. And none of us have any time to fool around. Can your roof pass God's inspection? Get your head on straight for your own protection. Your roof represents your head, and your head represents your heart. And with God in your life, no storm can tear it apart. God has given us this warning for one specific reason. He wants us to be prepared for the oncoming stormy season. Amen. I'd like to now go straight into God's word. I'll read unto you from the book of the gospel as recorded by St. John from the King James Version of the Bible. And it reads, I'll read to you chapter 6, verses 35 through 51. And then from there, I have a few more scriptures that I will read to you, but I will read them as the Lord progresses me along. And it reads, and Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. But I said to you that you have seen me, and yet do not believe. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and the one who comes to me I will by no means cast out. For I have come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. This is the will of the Father who sent me, that of all he has given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up at the last day. And this is the will of him who sent me, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him may have everlasting life. And I will raise him up at the last day. The Jews then complained about him because he said, I am the bread which come down from heaven. And they said, is not this Jesus the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that he says, I have come down from heaven? Jesus therefore answered and said to them, do not murmur among yourselves. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they shall be taught by God. Therefore, everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. Not that everyone has seen the Father, except he who is from God. He has seen the Father. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me has everlasting life. I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which comes down from heaven, that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I shall give is my flesh, which I shall give for the life of the world. Amen. I just read it to you from King James Version, book of the Bible, St. John, the 6th chapter, verses 35 through 51. And may the Lord add a blessing to the reading, the hearing, the doing of his word and his will. And may he edify our souls forever. Amen. Our topic, if we were to choose a topic for tonight, that topic would be bread in a sovereign land. And we know that in verse number 35, Jesus, he lets us know, said, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. Now I have to go over here to Amos, the 8th chapter, 11th verse, and this is to verify what I'm about to tell you. And it reads, behold, the days come, said the Lord God, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. So this is also where we get our thought from tonight. The Lord says that he's going to send a famine into the land. And see, this is not the famine that we are accustomed to going through. It's a famine of His Word. His Word is going to discontinue. That's why it's very important, why the blood is running warm in our veins, for us to partake of the bread, for us to avoid this famine. And we know that there's famine and there's pestilence everywhere, and you would think that a land that is flowing with milk and honey would have the things necessary from keeping people from starving to death in a land of milk and honey. It would keep them from not being able to have the nutritious things that are necessary for good spiritual growth. We know that there are a lot of, I would say, malnourished Christians out there who are not partaking the bread of life, who are not partaking what it is that the Lord has instructed us to take. Now, if you look around you, I'm more than sure that from wherever, not unless you're in an extremely rural area, you cannot even travel 2 to 3 miles without finding probably one of your favorite restaurants. We have our pizza places, we have our burger places, we have our sit-down restaurants, we have our Outbacks, our Chili's, our Applebee's, and it seems like with all of these restaurants, it seems like there should be no hunger anywhere. But I'm here to tell you tonight that our ailments, majority of our ailments that we have are because we have a bad diet. We have ingested the wrong type of food. We have partaken of things that is detrimental unto our own well-being. There's bread in a starving land. But see, this bread is the Lord. There's a void there. And see, this void can only be filled if we were to submit ourselves wholeheartedly unto the goodness of God. There's no other way that we can avoid being malnourished, because there are a lot of people, that are obese, but they're obese because they're dieting on the wrong type of food. They're dieting on things that will cause and give them liver damage, things that will accelerate diabetes. But I'm here to tell you that this bread that I'm talking about, this bread that the Lord is talking about in John 35:1, where He says He identified Himself as He is the bread of life. Now, we know that this bread is symbolic, and this bread represents the proper nutrition. We know that bread is one of the 5 or 6 food groups that is necessary in order for us to go forth and to do and to make it in this world. It's one of our nutritional requirements. But I'm here to tell you this evening that there's bread in a starving land. I'm asking you, I'm pleading with you, I beseech you to find the nearest house of worship. Does not necessarily have to be a Baptist church, a Catholic church, a Jewish church, a mosque, a kingdom hall, but whatever is your preference. God's word is being preached and is being taught all over the world. There are preachers all over. There are rabbis, there are priests, there are bishops all over that is preaching the word of God, that is feeding His people. He told them, whatever you do to feed My sheep. But you wonder why this malnourishment is so prevalent in our land. It's prevalent because the word is telling us this evening that the Jews, they did not believe it. They, when the Lord told them that He was the bread of life, and that he come down from heaven, they were very, very skeptical about that. They say, don't we know? Don't we know his father? This is in verse number 42, and they said, is not this Jesus the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that he says, I have come down from heaven? And there's a question mark behind it. See, you have your skeptics who will see and know who you are and what you are, but they will try to put a moral tag on you. They were trying to say, wait a minute, they will identify you with something or someone who is not in the spiritual family. They will say, hey, wait a minute, I know you, I know your father. But see, if you know my father, then you know that serving the Lord is an individual thing. You know that I have to submit myself, you have to submit yourself. We have to submit ourselves unto the righteousness of God. Now, can't you see yourself, you're getting kind of thin because you're not on the right diet? We're not eating as healthy as we should. We're not doing, or we're not partaking, or we're not thirsting after the right things, because the Lord promised that if we were to eat of his body and drink of his blood, we would not have to thirst, nor will we have to hunger. But there is bread. I'm telling you this evening that there is bread in a starving land. There is bread, there is nutrients in a starving land. There is help in a starving land. Only thing is that we have to seek it out. I mean, this can't be like Domino's, where you call, or Papa John's or Jimmy John's or one of those, where you call it, how they say. But one thing I can say about God's word, it is freaky fast. I mean, you can be saved in the twinkling of an eye. God is on the wait. God is poised to accept those that partake of and accept his son. There's no reason for us to be starving. There's no need for us not to be properly nourished. So this bread that we're talking about, this bread that is necessary, is the Lord. We know that the only way that we can partake of that, and I'm going to go over here to 1 Corinthians 11 chapter, verses 23 down to 25, and it says, for I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus the same night in which he was betrayed took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you, this do in remembrance of me. So also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this do in remembrance of me. So we know that. And you might think to yourself, you might say, wow, that sounds like cannibalism. See, that bread that the Lord was talking about is symbolic of him. It is who he represents. They take the bread, and then he told you that the bread was him. Now wait a minute, Deacon, you kind of like confusing me. No, there's no confusion there, because he says, when he gave thanks and he broke it, he said, take, eat, this is my body. So this was just giving us a parable, was just giving an example of what it would be like that we have to partake. And I know that on Sundays, that sometimes we have, you know, on the first Sunday, we have over communion, but in God's word it says, as often as you drink this bread, as often as you do this, you show my death in remembrance of me until I come. So you cannot take the Lord's body or drink his blood too much. The Lord is letting us know that as oft. This means that if you want to do this and partake of his shed blood, which was shed for the ransom of many, we know that this is something that he wants us to do. Now, I can't reiterate enough on this bread and a starving land. Now, once again, we say that we have 3 square meals a day. Now, diabetics, some of them have as much as 6 meals a day. Why? Because of their metabolism. Why? Because their engine is burning so hot that their digestive system is designed to eat not 6 full meals, but 6 small meals. So what's the difference? And some people, sometimes we get by without eating our breakfast. Sometimes we get by without eating our lunch. Sometimes we get by without eating our dinner. But the Lord is letting us know at his supper table to take this bread. And it was symbolic that when the bread was broken, they said, "This is my body, which was broken." So if you have served the Lord, sometimes you're going to be broke down in the body. Sometimes people are going to try to break you. Sometimes people are going to try to shed your blood. Sometimes people are going to do things unto you in which you will feel that is unacceptable to you. But I'm telling you, my brothers and my sisters, now is not the time for us to fall back nor to faint. Now is not the time for us to get on man's diet. Because, see, man's diet, sometimes in order to preserve things, man will put preservatives into the food. I know if you think about it, recently and in the past they had DDT, which was an insecticide, which they was using to keep the bugs from eating the fruit. But because the chemicals got into the food, it became harmful to the children. They had an artificial sweetener called saccharin and sucral. Now, these artificial sweeteners, they caused cancer. They had Allard, which they put on the apples, which became detrimental to man's health. But now is not the time for us in no type of way to faint back from eating and digesting and letting it marinate, let it nourish our souls. And I'm talking about the Word of God. I'm talking about his Word, because in the beginning was the Word. He said, "I am the Word." So we eat the Word and we digest the Word, then we digest it, what it is that the Lord will have us to digest. There's no other kind of way. I mentioned once before, as far as being fat, if I'm going to be fat, I'd rather be fat. How they say, I'd rather be fat in the Lord, and less faithful, available, and teachable. Now, that's how I want to get fat. I know some of us don't burn off our food as fast as others. But we're not looking at your body type. We're not looking at the size that you are. But I have a question to ask you. Are you eating the right thing? Are you studying God's Word? Are you allowing it to nourish your soul? Because it is food for the soul. My brothers and my sisters, I'm imploring you. Because there are so many people that I know, and probably that you know, that we have become so distracted by the things that's going on in the world that we have not the time, nor do we have the inclination to sit down like the Lord did at his supper table and break bread with our brothers, break bread with our sisters, our mothers, our fathers. You don't believe me? Go to some of these houses now, and it's not set up like it used to be. Because we had one community dinner with mother. She took the time and the patience to fix, and not an hour after we got home from school, which our dinner time was somewhere between 4 and 6 o'clock. It all depends on what time Dad would get home. And so we don't have those types of opportunities anymore. I mean, opportunities is there, but everybody in the house is eating totally something different. We don't appreciate that cook. We appreciate somebody else cooking, but we don't appreciate that cook in our house. Why? Because we got a taste. You know, I don't want no chicken noodle soup, even though it has the ingredients in it and the nutrients in order to starve that cold that's coming on. But no, I don't want no chicken noodle soup. I'd rather have McDonald's or Taco Bell or something like that. So whether we know it or not, it's important for each and every last one of us to come together as often as we can to eat and have communion together. We have been so separated by the variety in the world. Because I was a grown person before I ever had a slice of pizza. I was a grown person before I ever had some of those things that they have now. Now, Kentucky Fried Chicken made a good meal. But I'm telling you, my brothers and my sisters, there is bread in a starving land. And that bread is not up on your nearest thoroughfare. That bread is located on the corner with that cross on the edifice. That's where you can be well fed. It says, feed me till I want no more. That's the place that if you're hungry, that's the place to go. Because God says to those that what? That thirst after hunger and righteousness. What does God's word say? They shall. That's over there in Matthew. It says that blessed are they who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. So now is not the time for me to go on a bohemian diet. See, that bohemian diet is only going to make me lose weight. I need to put on that weight that's going to make me gain. That's going to make me gain weight in the Lord. Now, it says, often as you eat this bread, you show. So that's also another symbol that we have to look at. We have to be able to, and see, we just sometimes, as I say, we just eat just because we're hungry, or we just eat because we got, what do they call it? We got a craving for this particular thing, and we take two or three bites of it, and I know I do. I have done it on an occasion or two. I went to a restaurant, and I ordered something, and we went in a group, and bless my soul, what I ordered, whoever was with me, their food looked it better than what I had ordered, and I wanted some of their food. So sometimes we are never satisfied with the bread that's put before us. But we shouldn't be that way when it comes down to the Lord. It says, feed me to our want no more. So when the Lord feeds you, when you fed the word of God, sometimes after service, when we come home, it feels like you have to let your belt loose. Why? Because your belly is full. The belly is full with God's word. So we have this bread in a starving land, but are you going to? Are you going to partake it? Are you going to eat it? Are you going to drink? Are you going to? Because the Lord is the bread of life. Now, there's other stuff, is that what? The bread for a moment. It's just a temporary. You know how sometimes we go through our little craving area, our little craving times, and we might go a week where we got a taste for a Whopper. Then we might have a taste for some Chinese food. Then we might have a taste for pizza. We might have a taste for chicken. We might have a taste for fish. Now, all of these things may be good, and they are way, but see, those are just to do what? Just to quench your appetite. But I'm telling you, the best appetite in the world that you could have is to have an appetite for Jesus. I mean, sometimes you just want to tear out the pages of the Bible and just go to munching on it because the Word in this and the Bible is so good. It's so nutritious. You just, as I say, you just want, you know, sometimes I wish that they would make edible Bible pages. Because I read and I look at it, I say, oh, that's so good. I just, and I just want to take it, tear it off and eat it. But I eat it in a different way. I read it and I apply it to my life. And that's the way that you show spiritual growth. Because if you eat something, you're definitely going to grow. And if you eat God's word, if you take of the bread of life from the Lamb of life, then you definitely are going to grow spiritually. We got to look at that. Because from the time we were small, what did we start off on? We started off by being sucklings, as they put it. And then we went from the breast to the Cairo syrup and the carnation milk. And then a little while later, they come up with the pet milk. And then they came up with the Enfamil. And then they come up with the Similac. And then they went back to saying that a breastfed baby probably is the healthiest baby. So look at how many times over the last 50 or 60 years that our diet have changed. But there's one diet that should never change. That's our thirst and hunger for righteousness. We should never change our diet when it comes down to God's word, because he is the bread of life. And each one of those stages, because see, our digestive systems as babies were not designed to eat steak, were not designed to digest and to break down the food that the grown people were eating. So we had to drink the milk. But you say to yourself, this baby is only drinking milk, and then later on they put the Gerbers in there or the Heinz. And then you say, wow, this baby is really, really growing. And then they started using the cereal. So each stage of our development, we got a different nutritional supplement that we could use, but all during our spiritual growth, we're feeding on God's word. We're getting stronger on God's word. It's providing nutrients to our bodies, nutrients to our brain, nutrients to our heart. So there's no need to neglect what's on our plate. There's no reason for me to walk around and hunger, or it's not right for me to hunger and thirst after the lust of the flesh. There's a lot of ways that an individual can hunger. There's a lot of ways that an individual can get off of his diet. Well, he can begin to ingest and digest the wrong things, put the wrong things into his body. Even God's word says, I am the master of my body temple. So it's letting us know, letting you know that we have control over the things that we eat. We have control over the things that we put into our bodies. Now, my brothers and my sisters, I hope that you don't get tired of me telling you about this bread, because this bread has given me and it has provided me with all the things that I need. There's no need, because this famine is real. If you don't believe me, just look about you. Look at our politicians. Look at our schools. Look at how they have taken prayer out of our schools. Look at how they have taken religious, how they say religious artifacts. Look at how they have taken them away from government buildings. Now, what is that? If that's not a family, why is it that we cannot honor God? Why it offends somebody because we say God? Why it offends other people? So that famine is real. But God let us know. He told us that this is real, that this famine that we're going through at this particular time, but it was meant to be. God said in his word, "Behold, the day shall come, said the Lord, that I will send a famine in the land." So this is sent from God. So if you're going on a starvation diet, why not be like that squirrel? If you look now, it's winter, it's pressing its way close. But if you looked at the end of the summer, the beginning of the fall, how that squirrel, you looked out there and you seen them gathering up food and had them in his cheeks and everything, and you said to yourself, that squirrel is fat. Look like all these squirrels are fat. You look at the bear. You look at animals, and you said to yourself, they put on their little furry coats. Their coats are getting thicker, and they're getting fatter. Why? Because the wintertime is coming, and they know that food is not going to be easily accessible like it is in the summertime. They know that. So they got that weight to fall back on. If you look at that bear when he goes into hibernation, they say that during his hibernation period, he loses so many pounds. Why? Because that food that he has stored up over the summer, he begins to have that in reserve. I'm just saying to you, my brothers and my sisters, get the word while it's still available. Hold God's word in reserve. You can never become a glutton when it comes down to God's word. You can never be greedy when it comes down to God's word. But the more you store in your mind and in your heart, the better off you'll be, because that void is coming. It's unavoidable, because God says it in Amos that this is a famine that he has brought forth. This is a famine that, in other words, he's going to tell that preacher, stop preaching. He's going to tell those evangelists, stop evangelizing. He's going to tell those people that is carrying his word, and we're going to look high and low for God's word. And the bad part about it is that it's going to be nowhere to be found. But see, I know a place where I can find God's word, and I'm going to let you in on a little secret. I know a place where you also can find God's word, and that's in your heart. Store up God's word in your heart, so when the lean times come, I'm not talking about a food or drink, but I'm talking about God's word. So when the lean times come, you'll be able to pull upon that reserve. If you look at that camel, a lot of animals are designed so that they could go long periods of time without eating. Look at that whale. They say that blubber is fat. And see, fat stores calories, and calories fuels the body. So increase your caloric intake with God's word. It won't hurt you. You know how sometimes we eat, say, oh, I'm so full when the holidays come by. Most of us, some of us, or a few of us, all dependent, we overindulge. We say, oh, I'm so full. You know, every year we make New Year's resolutions. I got to lose some of this weight. But see, that what you have in God, you can never lose that. You can never overindulge. You can never overdo it. So that's just a friendly reminder, my brothers and my sisters, that there is bread in a starving land. As I say, you can walk up and down or drive up and down the busy roads in your community. And I know in Detroit, I know on our main streets, even out in the suburbs, sometimes it's like 4 chicken places on one corner. Then you got your taco places. Then you got your burger joints. So it's not a lack of that type of food. But how many churches can we go to? How many times can we go to that cafeteria that I call the church? How many times can we have a smorgasbord of God's word? Because you know what? The variety is great. The benefits are even greater. But sometimes I have to be fed that I should stop my line, but I'm still being fed. I might not like it. In my mouth, it might be sweet as honey, but in my belly, it's bitter than gall. So sometimes we eat stuff and it might not taste right. But I found out that sometimes the worst medicine that you can take, the worst tasting medicine is probably some of the best medicine that you could take. Now, I'm not trying to get off key here or anything like that, but I know that when I was coming up, they had this medicine. They had 2 medicine. They was cold medicines, 3 of them. It was castor oil. It was Father John's. It was syrup of blackjaw. Now, those were the most terrible tasting medicines that you could ever take. But you know what? It was good for you. God's word sometimes is not going to agree with you. It's going to unsettle your stomach. But he said he is the bread of life, because automatically when you take something that don't agree with you, guess what? You're going to regurgitate that which is not good for you. Sometimes we have to take things in order to work our way through, in order to get rid of that which we just took. Say, wow, that did not agree with me. So, my brothers and my sisters, this bread of life, Jesus is letting us know that he is the bread of life. I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. So this famine that I was telling you about as far as bread in the starving land, the Lord, in verse number 35 of Gospel as recorded by St. John, the 6th chapter, 35th verse, Jesus is letting each one of us know that I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. So, isn't that something? It says, he who believes in me. So even if that famine of his word, even if we can't get to the church, even if it seems like the TV ministries are shutting down, God's word has said, if you believe in him, you will never hunger, nor will you thirst. So take advantage of that bread of life, because he is bread in a starving land. May God bless you and may ever keep you. And I'll turn you over to the hands of Brother Brown.
Amen, amen, and amen for that awesome word for such a time as this. That was a powerful word on today, Deacon Marvin Cox. I was really inspired by this word. I have taken a lot of notes regarding this message on tonight from you, and that's why I always ask the listeners, get your Bibles, get your pens and paper ready so you can follow along with whoever's bringing the word, so that you can also write down notes, so that you can always reflect back on the notes in your leisure time, so that the Lord can talk to you through even your notes that you took down during the message. So tonight's message, Bread in a Starving Land. So, yes, the Lord will sometimes allow things to happen in our lives to get our attention, to let us know that Jesus is the bread of life. And without the Lord Jesus Christ, without the Lord himself, our Heavenly Father, we can do nothing. He said that he shall supply all of our needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. So we thank God for this word. And I like what you said, Deacon Murray Cox. That's why the word of God says, hide the word in your heart that you might not sin against thee. So every now and then, or there may come a time, I know I have been in positions or situations where I did not have a Bible. And a situation came up or someone came to me unexpectedly with a question pertaining to the word of God. And I did not have the Bible in my hand to refer to. So the Lord let me know that even though they asked that question, I was able to answer the question. Thank God, because of the word that was hidden in my heart. And he said he will bring these things back to your remembrance. So he cannot bring to your remembrance what you do not have in store and stored up in your heart or in your mind, which is of the word of God. So he cannot bring those things to your remembrance if you have not stored them in your heart or in your mind after reading the word of God. And the word of God also says, after all thy getting, the understanding. So we need to get the understanding, a full understanding about what you're talking about, Deacon Melvin Cox, talking about this bread in a starving land. And yes, we do have situations now where the word of God is going forth with power, but we are living in a land that is starving because people are so caught up into material things. We have so many false ministries and so many pastors and bishops and prophets and prophetesses or elders or deacons that are going forth supposedly with power, talking and standing on the word of God. But guess what? They have hidden motives or agendas. And they are those individuals that are teaching and preaching what the people want to hear because they have itching ears. And that's one of the reasons why we are in a starving land. The world is starving for the word of God. So it behooves you, the listener, you, my sister, you, my brother, in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why the Lord tells us, that's why it goes back to the word of God that lets us know that we are compelled to do what? Go into the hedges and the highways and be able to do what? Draw men, women, boys, and girls to Jesus Christ. Why? Through his word. And that's why it's important that we know his word, because people are starving for the word of God today. And the Christians, I must say, and it's a sad report on the Christians' behalf, not all Christians, because there are some faithful doers that are truly standing on God's word, being doers, faithful, humble doers of God's word. But there are, on the other hand, are so many that are not. Because, again, they have hidden motives and agendas. So they are so caught up in the world and the things of the world that they cannot fulfill their God purpose because they're trying to gain fame or attention from the people of the world that is not saved in Jesus' name, that are still spiritually blind themselves. So it's important that we know the word and then we can stand on God's word. So, again, I love what the Lord says. Hide the word, not man's word, but the word of God in your heart, that you might not sin against him. So we thank God for this message on tonight, Deacon Marvin Cox. I know that I have been blessed by this word, an awesome, powerful word on tonight for such a time as this, because we are truly living in the last days. These are some evil times, and we see these evil men, even from government officials from the highest. That's why the word of God says, spiritual wickedness in high places. We are seeing this now, people that have high positions in government, and even some in the body of Christ, they, again, have hidden motives and agendas, and they're not standing on God's word because they are feeding the people because they have itching ears. So the Lord says in his word, woe unto the pastors that scatter my flock. Not only the pastors, but if you are saved in Jesus' name and you are scattering God's flock by any way or means, then you are going to stand and give an account to God for that, as well as me. I'm not excluded. That goes for anyone that can hear my voice. If you're saved in Jesus' name, we know that we must stand on God's word, even knowing that God is the bread of life. Jesus is the bread of life in today's starving land. So we thank God for Deacon Marvin Cox. So if you are a doer of God's word, we don't want to become a liability to the kingdom of God, because we're saying that we are saved in Jesus' name, but we don't even know or have God's word hidden in our hearts so that when somebody come up on us and ask us a question pertaining to God's word, we cannot answer it. That's a bad report, and that's a bad reflection on us and the Lord. So we need to know that, yes, in these last and evil days, we are in the time where there is bread, thank God for the word, bread still in a starving land. So I thank God for the word on tonight. I pray that you were blessed by this word and that the word has been received in love on tonight and that many souls have been saved through this word on tonight is my prayer in Jesus' name. So we're going to close out in prayer as we always do. Eternal God, Heavenly Father, we come once again to give you glory, honor, and praise for who you are. We thank you for your mercy, for your grace, even your sufficient grace toward us in spite of ourselves. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for your word. We thank you, Lord, that you cannot change, you cannot lie, you cannot fail. You are not like man. You are still standing on your word. You are still standing on your promises. You are a promise keeper. You promised us, that, Lord, that you would, if we study your word, that we can hide your word in our hearts so that we cannot sin against you. And that we can be the examples in this dying, evil, sinful world that people can see that Jesus Christ is the bread of life. That those that are spiritually blind can come to him and be open their own mouths and confess the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved in his name, even on today. So we thank you for your word, Lord. We thank you for Deacon Marvin Cox that brought forth your word with power on tonight. And every listener that has listened to this word and took this word in, that they're going to be better doers of your word after hearing this word on tonight, is our prayer in Jesus' name. Now, Lord, we pray and ask that you will move by your spirit on tomorrow in every door that's going to be open in your son, Jesus' name. Move by your spirit, Heavenly Father, that through every vessel that's going to stand on your word, that you would use them, anoint them even now with power, dunamis power, that they can stand on your word, that as your word goes forth, that souls will be saved, backsliders will come back to the fold, and that the body of Christ will be built up and strengthened and edified even more, is our prayer in Jesus' name. So now, Lord, we again give you glory, honor, and praise for who you are. We thank you for this another day that you have made, and we thank you that you're not like man. It's all in the name of Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. That's the word for tonight. I pray that you have been blessed by the word. So we're going to ask in the closing song on tonight, and we know the Lord is always covering us through the blood of Jesus Christ. But as a reminder, our closing song, Cover Me, Lord. Until the next time, continue to be blessed of the Lord. If you can, please find yourself in the house of worship on tomorrow with your sisters and brothers in the Lord, giving praise, glory, and honor and worship to God, who is so deserving and worthy of our praise. Until the next time, good night.
Cover me, Lord, with thy spirit. Oh, cover me, Lord, with thy cover me, Lord, with thy presence. Oh, cover me, Lord, with thy breath.